Entertainment. Tom Sullivan podcasts are brought to you by Wholesale Art and Framing, Bridgefield Condominiums, and News Talk 1530 KFBK at KFBK.com. Now, Sacramento's number one talk show, The Tom Sullivan Show, continues on News Talk 1530 KFBK. Here again, Tom Sullivan.
Welcome back, 8 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. Welcome back, Tom Sullivan in your radio, and have on the line with me let's see if I get the right title going here. This is a the man who made a feature length documentary called Shadow Company. His name is Nick Bisanich, and he is, I'm not sure where you are, Nick, but welcome to the program.
Hey Tom, how's it going? It's Nick Bichnich.
Thank you.
Good effort.
I got the
last name.
All the Slavic names, I kind of just go close, and I.
Yeah, that's good enough.
Fine, thank you. So Nick, the company, the name of the movie is Shadow Company, and I watched it over the weekend, and it's just mind-boggling and mind-riveting, and it is about the inside world, the secret world of modern-day mercenaries, although I saw in the interviews that you did with all these different people that they don't like to be called mercenaries. They've come up with all kinds of new names, and they've been part of the world for as long as this country's been around, and they're heavily involved in Iraq.
Yeah, you're right. You know, a lot of people say that the world of mercenaries is one of the world's oldest professions. Of course, they also say the world of prostitution is one of the world's oldest professions. But you can do with that comparison what you want. It's true that the world of private military companies or private security companies, these guys go by many names. But the important point is that it's important for the general public to be aware that they're a massive component of the war effort in Iraq. One of the sad things is, and we'll get to this later on in the program, I'm sure, when people ask about it, that we don't really know exactly how many of them there are, but by anyone's count, there's a significant number. The modern U.S. Army would find it difficult to wage a war like it's waging in Iraq without the use of private military contractors, and this was one of the key reasons why we decided that it was vital to make a film like Shadow Company.
Well, tell the audience about the background, because apparently this wasn't something that you've been dwelling on since you were 12. This is something that came along because of a friend of yours.
Yeah, when I went to university in Cambridge in the UK, and a guy who I was at university with who graduated as a lawyer, and I lost track of him, you know, as you do with your college buddies. I knew that he was in the British Army, and after that, I really didn't know what he was doing. He worked as a lawyer for a while, but he got bored, and I got this email from him just out of the blue, saying that he was going to be a mercenary. And when I got the email, in my mind, the mercenary, I had all these stereotypes in mind, as you do if you watch a lot of movies or play video games. You kind of think, oh yeah, mercenaries, loads of weapons, knives between their teeth, they overthrow foreign governments. But I slowly became aware through James, this is the name of my friend, became aware through James' stories that there's actually a very large industry, there's a private military industry that's a significant component of modern warfare. So we set out to tell the story of simply who these guys are, what they do, and why, because the rules of war have changed, and I wanted to tell people how.
Well, Hollywood Reporter reviewed your film, Shadow Company, and they said that the minute you see Iraq and military and private corporations in the description of a new documentary, you might expect a screed, but they'd be surprised about Shadow Company, which is less interested in the rightness or wrongness of our current war. More really just detailing. I found it almost refreshing and very difficult in today's world to not have a spin about the Iraq War or about Sierra Leone or any of the other wars in which these mercenaries have been involved with. You don't take a side. You just lay it out there and say, here they are.
Well, I think I'm very glad to hear you say that, because that was one of the key things we set out to do. You see, when you're dealing with a subject that's as easy to spin as not just war, but specifically privatization of war, I think it does a great disservice to the truth and to people's understanding of what this really means for future global conflict to put some spin on it. And to be honest, I find it insulting. You know, as far as I'm concerned, I don't want to disrespect any audience, whether it's mine or yours, and try and preach to them and tell them what to think. I would much rather present the information in a balanced way and essentially allow them to make up their own mind, because that's how I think a documentary should be made.
Well, in fact, I had trouble because there were some of the people that you interviewed who were very much involved with some of the companies that supply soldiers to the Iraq War that a comment would sound like they were for something, and then another comment later and another would be just the and so I wasn't even sure you were able to interview these people without getting a spin from them either. And what I found, if you really want to boil it down to the basics about how this works, we all know about Halliburton and KBR and all these other companies that have been hired to do logistics of providing food or tents or transportation to or from or all these various things that we outsource. And the logical next step is, if you're outsourcing all these pieces of the war, why not outsource the soldier?
It's an interesting thing to consider, and this is something that a lot of people have talked about. As you point out, a lot of people are aware of, if you wish, the more mundane aspects of outsourcing in warfare. In other words, the guys who cook the food or the guys who are, you know, drive a truck from point A to point B. What they might be less aware of, and what quite specifically Shadow Company talks about, is the guys that actually carry the guns. They're called anything from, you know, they do private security details or convoy escort details, and they essentially protect anybody who's involved in a reconstruction, or in some instances, government employees. They will protect them from any kind of attacks. So in many instances, they perform the exact same task that usually the U.S. Army would be performing in a war zone. But there simply isn't enough soldiers. The U.S. government has essentially bitten off more than it can chew with a regular army, so it's been forced to outsource what is usually considered a mission-critical task. And it's certainly interesting to see, well, one of like I said, the rules of war have changed, and if this happens and if this goes on, people got to be aware of this, because people got to know that there are implications in outsourcing these kinds of decisions and these kinds of tasks. So that's one of the things we set out to investigate and explore.
We're talking with Nick Bichinich, who is the, is it producer, director, creator?
It's all of the above. On what happens when you're not working with a huge amount of budget, whether it's driven by political organizations or whether it's driven by Hollywood studios. If you're trying to finance something yourself, you cut every corner you can, which means that you wear multiple hats.
Well,
in this particular case, for sure, there was a lot of other people helping. But yeah, I get to call myself everything.
Good. All right. So that means you get the check for all those different jobs too. But this has been reviewed very favorably by just about everybody I can read: the San Francisco Chronicle, the Hollywood Reporter. The list goes on and on and on. Feature-length documentary. So it's a documentary, but it's feature-length. It's 86 minutes in running, but moves right along. There isn't a second in there that it slows down. Is this going to be in the theater down the street around the corner, or do people have to get a DVD? How do people see this?
So just to clarify, so if people want to check out, one easy answer to this is, if people want to check out a trailer and some clips from the film, as well as find out a lot more information, they should go to www.shadowcompany.com. There's a lot of information on there, including a trailer. And while you can buy the DVD directly from there, we are working on a limited theatrical release. We've got New York pretty much locked in. We're doing Chicago, LA, and a number of the other major cities. But one of the problems when you're dealing with, as you say, a balanced documentary in a political environment, it's not the kind of thing that's easy to get distribution for. The reason being, I mean, I've had conversations with broadcasters who say, you know, we love this movie, we love the kind of access you have, we think it's really slick. However, we want you to cut it and make it anti-war and anti-private military contractors. And I said, well, I don't want to do that, because the whole point is that truth doesn't take political sides. I don't want to spin it. And they said, well, we don't want to air it. So, to be honest, if you want to see it right now, the easiest thing to do is to go and buy the DVD directly from the website. We are working on a theatrical release campaign to reach an even broader audience, but that's going to take a little time.
Well, yeah, it would be more, the more controversial, the more commercial, I suspect. But it's fascinating because of the way that you just lay it out so rawly, in a raw form. In fact, even one of the mercenaries that you interviewed, one of the private security consultants, was a guy who said it's basically an elevated shopping mall guard.
The guy who said that was actually a guy by the name of Robert Young Pelton. He's an author of a very, very good book called License to Kill, which is, I believe, available right now. It's a book about the world of private military companies as well. He's not a contractor himself. He's an adventurer and an author who spends a lot of time in various different conflict zones. And it is, you know, the problem with this is vocabulary and perception. These guys are essentially private soldiers. It's not convenient for the companies to call them private soldiers because of the fact that people get all up in arms about the use of the word mercenary. But at the end of the day, they're a private aspect of the war effort. These guys have spent, many of them, 10, 15 years in the SEALs or in other forms of special forces. They're not doing a job that's massively dissimilar to what they were doing when they were working for the regular army. They're just working for a different employer. But people get very uncomfortable with the idea of outsourcing that sort of stuff. So that's why the industry is forced to hide behind words like international peace operator or private security contractor. Unfortunately, that ends up confusing the issue. What's important here is to figure out who these guys are, what they do, and why, and what is the best way to use them. And if we need more oversight, which I believe we do, let's get more oversight. But the first thing is to figure out how many of them are there? What are the key tasks? What does it make sense to outsource? What doesn't it make sense to outsource? But without people approaching this in a balanced way, with their eyes open, we're never going to get those kinds of discussions going.
Well, I also thought it was interesting because of all the publicity surrounding the president's surge of bringing in an extra 20-some thousand soldiers into Iraq. And in your movie, Shadow Company, you talk about the fact that the number of mercenaries or private soldiers in Iraq is somewhere around 20,000.
It's quite, the film was the edit was completed about 9 months ago, and obviously it takes a bit of time for a film to sort out distribution and so forth. Those numbers are even higher. The latest figures, like I said, no one knows exactly what the correct figure is, are more along the lines of 70,000. So there's even more of the war effort there.
Contractors.
Bear in mind, not all of those guys are Americans. There's quite a significant component of so-called third country nationals, Fijians, Filipinos, simply because they're cheaper. And when you're privatizing a task, so long as you can manage the process correctly, you'd imagine that when you're profit motivated, you try and maximize your profits, which is an interesting problem because that's not always the best way to deal with something like armed conflict.
No, but at the same time, I think what I got out of it, maybe it was just my own bias, my own view of the world, but what I got out of it was that instead of just some wild, uncaged animals that could go out and act with impunity and shoot anybody and do anything and do the Rambo sort of stuff, these guys were all very professional and very much self-regulated about the fact that they could not go out and create more chaos where they went. They were there to do a job.
I agree that the overwhelming majority of the guys I met were guys who had spent a number of years working in a very strict military environment in basically a proper national professional army. Now, when you spend 10, 15 years being imbued with values like honor, loyalty, glory, et cetera, those don't go away when you suddenly go and work for the private sector. Your professionalism doesn't suddenly disappear because you're basically getting paid a higher salary. However, these guys, the private contractors themselves, will be the first to admit that there are cowboys. And what we're trying to do is, what they're trying to do, rather, is they're trying to get more accountability and more transparency in the system so that those cowboys can be weeded out. Those cowboys are a problem because when you're trying to get a complicated scenario like Iraq under control and you've got some guys who aren't playing by the rules, it doesn't matter what rules you have in place if people go and break them. The important thing is to figure out how to lock the rules down, how to set up a system so that people who do break the rules can be prosecuted. But at the same time, the opposite side, which is what some people who are perhaps, more who would prefer to spin in the opposite direction, they might go, well, but these guys are all animals. And that's not a very useful piece of information at all, because if there are a small amount of cowboys out there, labeling the entire industry as a bunch of cowboys does a disservice to everybody, because it doesn't help the industry. It doesn't help anybody find a better solution. At the end of the day, if the current administration changes a few years down the line, like some people are saying it will, these companies aren't going to go away. These companies are not a Republican product. These companies are going to be there because they're a key part of stability in a conflict zone, in no matter what kind of conflict we get into in the next 15, 20, however many years. So solving this problem and understanding it it's not about demonizing or spinning the story. It's about understanding it and figuring out what the best solution is.
Talking to Nick Bichinich, who produced the movie Shadow Company, there's also, from just the business standpoint for a moment, in one part of your film, Nick, you talked about the fact that it cost us, the American public, $25,000 a day for a soldier, a U.S. Army soldier?
That was a quote, a guy called Doug Brooks, who is in charge of the International Peace Operators Association, which is a Washington, D.C. lobby group with a bunch of private military companies as members, yes.
So they take the cost of the military and zero it down to a soldier and say, this is what is going to be allocated to the soldier, and that it's much cheaper to just go hire a soldier's services than it is to go through and bring in a trained U.S. military soldier.
The argument for outsourcing is the same whether you're talking about the military or whether you're talking about something much more practical and mundane like garbage collection. If you've got a given city that wants to improve the way its garbage is collected from the streets, and they're basically are saying, well, okay, you know, we got to hire all these people, we got to buy all these new trucks, and instead there's a company that already has all this equipment, it's going to be much cheaper to hire that company because that company has a core business, or it only does the specific problem that you want solved. Now, that if you try and just look at the costs, you can go, well, that makes perfect sense, it's a no-brainer. But first of all, costs aren't the only thing you should look at. But even if you look at the costs, it only makes sense if it's done for a short period of time. Hiring private contractors as an alternative to soldiers makes sense if you just need, say, for the sake of argument, a few hundred for 2 or 3 months. But nobody expected the sheer volume that would be needed in Iraq, and nobody expected it would go on for such a long period of time. At this point, if you say, well, what would have happened if we'd have increased the amount of soldiers there at the very beginning of Iraq? Would we really need these contractors? The answer is probably no, you wouldn't need as many. But unfortunately, that's 20/20 hindsight.
Sure.
No one knew that at the time.
So the other side of it, continuing down this idea of which is most cost effective, for the soldier, you interviewed one gentleman who said he was in his 19th year with one of the branches of the U.S. military, mm-hmm. was going to be getting out and retiring next year, and was looking forward. And some of the numbers that were being thrown around, $150,000, $200,000, you can make three times what you could make as a high-ranking NCO or even officer by going to work for one of these companies. You've got 20 years of experience, training, education, and you go to work for one of these companies and you make even tons more. So there's some attraction for some of these people.
There is. There's definitely an attraction. I mean, it's a bit of a no-brainer. If you're sitting there and you're a career Army officer or a high-ranked NCO, and you've got all this experience, as you put it, you sit there and you think, well, hang on a second, I'm making X, and these guys are making $700 a day, sometimes up to $1,000 a day. So why wouldn't I? And they're risking their lives in exactly the same way. They're basically doing similar kinds of work. So, and on top of that, they get to go home every 3 months. Or sometimes even more frequently.
I got a kick out of one of the gentlemen that was there, and he said something to the effect of, you know, it was one of those things. He says, that's all I know how to do. And it goes back to this whole debate about the military and how many people are in the military and recruiting issues and everything else, and how could anybody want to go into the military, where we find out that most members of a volunteer army today are people that from the time they were small children, they've grown up with the idea of, you like to make films, I like to do radio. These people like to do military things. They do like it as much as other people are confounded by it. So why not keep doing it?
Yeah, I mean, I think one key thing is, as we said at the beginning of the film, the discussion. We never approach this by saying, like some, you know, political filmmakers might do. They might say, well, we hate the military, and you know, we hate the war in Iraq. Therefore, let's see how we're going to hate contractors best and make a film about that. Instead, what we did is we thought, well, it doesn't really matter what we hate or don't hate. Let's actually talk about the issue. Let's tell people about what these people do and the fact that these people exist. Now, if you want to watch this film, and at the end of the film, we have very heated discussions. I mean, we screened this film on Capitol Hill. We screened it at a bunch of different film festivals, and the question and answer sessions after the film go on for hours because people stand up and say, well, I can't believe you did this and this and this, and then another person might totally argue with them, and they might ask me to step in between, give my point of view. But the fact is everybody can get something out of this because we're not essentially jumping on one side and saying this is what we believe, therefore if you don't believe what we believe you can get lost.
No, in fact, in your movie Shadow Company you've got a professor of ethics. Mm-hmm. You've got a lobbyist for these companies before Congress. You've got some private military contractors or mercenaries, whatever you want to call them, contractors, authors and journalists and adventurers, and it's an analyst from the Brookings Institute. So you've really covered it very well. I was interested. You started off the movie actually going fairly quickly into Sierra Leone in Africa, mm-hmm. and how 150 of these mercenaries overthrew 15,000 man army that was trying to take over the government.
Sierra Leone is. This happened in 1995, and in fact, it happened again in 1999. And some of the events of the 1999 scenario are immortalized in a recent movie called Blood Diamond, but. What happened in 95, as you put it, is 150 guys belonging to a company called Executive Outcomes were hired to put down a 15,000 strong rebel army. Now, and they were successfully accomplished that. They stabilized the country. Now, it's very common for people to go, oh my God, this is post-colonial behavior. How dare they put South Africans, no less, from an apartheid regime into a country to fight against black rebels. I mean, shouldn't they just allow the country to deal with itself? Well, yeah, you say that, but a lot of these rebels took significant amounts of drugs. They were very young, and they tended to cut off people's arms and legs and mutilate them on a repeated basis, and they appeared to enjoy this. So at some point, you have to wonder, how do you deal with a conflict like that? You know, if you decide to leave this to the UN, you can end up very easily, because the UN is a very slow-moving and in some ways broken institution and instrument for dealing with international conflicts of this kind. You end up with Rwanda, because the UN sits on its collective hands, doesn't really do anything, and 800,000 people die in the space of a few weeks. This sort of scenario was prevented in Sierra Leone, and I'm not saying, oh, this is great, mercenaries should be used for everything. The important thing isn't to generalize. The important thing is to consider alternatives and consider that the idea of a private force used in certain aspects, controlled in a correct way, might be a positive alternative. And that's exactly what we want people to do with Shadow Company, is to think about and consider alternatives. Whichever political side you're on, whatever you believe in, make yourself aware of what's going on around the world and how wars are fought, and consider whether that's a good thing or a bad thing.
Well, I love movies that make me think, and Shadow Company gave me much to think about. I loved it. I absolutely loved it. And Nick Bichinich, the producer, the director, the creator of Shadow Company, thanks so much. Again, shadowcompany.com is the website, and you can keep track of where the movie is and get a DVD if you want, or go to one of the screenings wherever it's nearby. Thanks again so much, Nick.
Thank you very much.
You bet. Bye-bye.
Thanks a lot.
131. We'll be back. Tom Sullivan on KFPK.
Hear history as it happens. News Talk 1530, KFPK. At Wholesale Art and Framing, it's what customers say about them that matters most.
I had two pieces from Disneyland. They turned out fantastic. The guys over here at Wholesale Art and Framing did a fabulous job. Fantastic. The price at Aaron Brothers was over $800 per piece, and Wholesale Art and Framing did them for $249 a piece. So, wasn't even a comparison.
Wholesale Art and Framing wants to know, what have you got to frame? Visit wholesaleframing.com.
Here's what you get in a Bridgefield condominium priced in the low 200,000s.
Crown molding and living areas.
9-foot ceilings.
Flush cut pile Berber carpet.
Laminated wood floors.
Window coverings.
Ceiling fans in all bedrooms.
Full-size stackable washer dryer.
Designer cabinets with full-height upper cabinets.
Abundant storage.
Stainless steel sink.
Thick granite countertops.
Refrigerator with indoor ice water.
Black-on-black GE appliances.
Pantry.
Oversized soaking tubs.
Thick granite countertops.
Tile floors in all bathrooms.
Gated community.
Internet cafe.
Business center.
Conference room.
Sparkling oversized pool and spa.
Fitness center. Children's tot lot.
And that's not all. And it's all new construction. Now what do you get elsewhere? A lot less for a lot more. Visit BridgefieldCondos.com or call 729-5145. That's 729-5145.
The top news, weather and traffic, on air, online, and on demand. It's coverage you can count on from News Talk 1530 KFEK and streaming live now at KFEK.com.
1:37 now at KFBK, I'm Kitty O'Neill. Tens of thousands of protesters have taken to the streets in Iraq to mark the four-year anniversary of the fall of Baghdad. Demonstrators called for U.S. troops to leave Iraq, but U.S. officials say the fact that Iraqi citizens are freely expressing their opinion is a sign of progress. State lawmakers are returning from spring break today to begin work on a host of tough issues. They include prison reform, political reform, health care, and the state budget. Anti-tax activists are announcing today that 46 lawmakers will oppose tax increases this year to balance the budget. And actor Danny Glover says he's not interested in being the mayor of San Francisco. Some liberal activists have been pressing the lethal weapon started challenge Mayor Gavin Newsom in November, but Glover says he plans to continue fighting for progressive causes he sees needed around the world, so that leaves Newsom with little competition at this point as he seeks a second term.
Yeah.
1:38 at KFBK. Yeah. Well.
Well, did you have a nice Easter?
I did have a nice Easter.
Good.
You?
Yeah. I was just, we were just talking here about this, by the way, this movie, you got to see The Shadow Company. I loved it. All about the private
interview.
Military.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff going on.
It was very interesting.
I also was taken by, I just want to take a moment because I haven't had a chance to. And you just showed me this this very interesting letter to the editors in the Major Sacramento newspaper today.
Mm-hmm.
One in here by Raymond Zachary from Elk Grove, talking about you are what your property is. It's very well read,
well written and very thoughtful. It's very thoughtful. It really caught my attention this morning when I was reading it. And
about the fact that your property is basically, it's a sign or a signal or a stamp of who you are and what you've done and what you've achieved and what you have gathered along your road in life. And for somebody to take your property, but it's okay to take your property but not to take action against you, means the criminal mind is more interested. It gives them the incentive to say it's okay to take your past but not your future.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, it's well written. So.
I know. I thought it was a very just thought-provoking letter. And there's some things in it that made sense. I mean, we all know your stuff is stuff. But yet, as I was saying to you, Tom, you know, people work for their things that they acquire. And,
sure.
And people take umbrage of the fact that someone would just come up and without any hard work, sacrifice, or payment on their own, just want your stuff. I don't, you know, they don't care, no regard for what you've gone through or sacrificed in your life to gain it. They just want it for free, for nothing, and right now. And it's like, no, not fair.
And Raymond Zachary's point is protect property and mutual respect is enhanced. Lose respect for property and human life is cheapened because it is connected to your life. The stuff that you have is connected to your life.
I just think it's...
It just is.
It is.
Yeah.
It's very interesting.
I have...
Something you've worked for, you've sacrificed for.
Gosh, I'll tell you, Kitty, I have had more emails on this than anything I can ever remember about our good buddy, Sal Sachin, who was the man who shot at the guys trying to steal his stuff.
Right.
And everywhere I go, it's just... It's like nothing I've ever been involved with before.
Well, everywhere I go, so I can imagine what it must be like for
just,
you.
But I just want to thank all of you because I have read your emails, and there have been tons of them that have come in. Letters, emails. It's overwhelming.
Yeah.
It really is. So I'm just, and I did not do it for that purpose. I just was sitting here doing my show thinking, this isn't right.
Yeah.
We got to go help this guy.
I know. I had to explain to people over the weekend because they were confused about the start of the whole thing and it was how it was initiated. And I said, hey, he was just talking, getting information. It struck a chord with him.
Yeah.
He had this feeling that it just didn't settle right with him at all and wanted to correct what he felt was an injustice just on a kind of a gut level almost. You can think about, this will happen, or not the repercussions being considered. Just kind of did it.
I saw an article over the weekend, too, that was kind of tied in with it out of Richmond, Virginia. There was the chief of police in Richmond, Virginia just said that they're cracking down on crime. They've just had it. They have had enough of it, and they're cracking down on crime. So they are going after people with vengeance in the Richmond Police Department. And you go, I know that all police departments are just, you know, they're out there just fighting crime on a regular basis. It's hard. There's so much crime going on. But we talk about the surge in Iraq. I don't know what we do. Do we put on a surge for hiring more police officers, or what do we do? Because we are not able, the police are not able to be everywhere and to really, they're fighting a losing battle.
Right. And I don't know if you got this, Tom, but I got this a lot over the weekend. People would want to tell me their stories and how they got their car broken into, say, and something got stolen. And then they would say, and the police would say, oh, don't even bother. We can't. They have thrown up their hands. Yeah, like it matters.
Uh-huh.
And they have no time, no resources to pursue that kind of stuff. And people are just, they're just tired of
it.
They're just fed up.
So if the police don't have the resources to protect
you,
then what are you supposed to do?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And it's not just the taking of the stuff. It's that characteristic in someone that says, I can take the thing that you have worked for and you have paid for, and I just want it for free, and I just want it now, and I'm just going to take it from you without regard from you. And that just that characteristic makes people bristle. It's not the way that people should be operating in a fine society. It's not.
The sad part is the criminal is getting away with it.
I know, and that's why people are getting frustrated.
Crime victims are not.
Right.
They're getting shortchanged all the time. And especially, the more low income you are, the less chance you have of ever recovering from a crime, mm-hmm. because of the fact that there isn't any insurance. There isn't anything to pay for replacement of what it was that you had taken from you. So,
and the other thing is, I heard, that really made me think about it. Well, I guess it might have been my fault because I left it, you know, where someone could see it in the car. It's your car. It's your stuff. I mean,
you should be able to leave a bag of money in your car.
You should be able to leave something. Yeah. It's dishonest for them to take it.
Yeah.
The onus, why does it always have to be on you? I mean, oh, it was my fault. Because you had a nice car. It's your fault, and you had something nice in there. But it's how we've been trained now to think. Oh, my fault.
The poor criminal couldn't help himself.
Couldn't help walking by, saw it, and it peeked in my window, and, well, I was tempting him too much. I mean, come on. Where have we gotten here?
I don't know.
But I know how you feel about it. Somebody took a stand here that I know. And a lot of people are.
It's also kind of bizarre that it's okay to shoot somebody in your house, but it's not outside your house.
Well, it's the old joke: shoot them outside and
drag them in.
Out. Yeah, I mean,
just make sure and clean up the blood outside.
Yeah, right. Ugh. No, I know the laws are just a little bit slanted.
At the same time, you can't have a law that says you can pick off people walking by.
No,
you
can't.
You know, they stepped on your lawn.
And someone brought that up. What about the kid that steals the pumpkin off your front porch?
Right, right, right.
Right. I know. I don't know, Tom.
But see, I think people are smart enough.
Not
to shoot the kid that's stealing the pumpkin, but to shoot the kid that's stealing your car.
Well, when there's three kids out or young men at 3 o'clock in the morning outside your house and your family's asleep, that's a little bit different. It's scarier.
Sure it is.
Yeah.
Have you ever been confronted with somebody messing around your property in the middle of the night? I mean, it does get your heart racing.
I
don't care who you are.
Thought of it. Yeah, no, but it does. I know.
Okay, how about you hear noises?
Yeah.
And you don't know what it is, and it turns out to be nothing.
Right.
But immediately.
You're freaked out.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I know. And you don't think the way you normally would think. That's true, too. Yeah.
All right. Well, we have a potential hearing we'll see if the prosecutor even files charges. But they're down to today or tomorrow or Wednesday, Mr. Sachin has a hearing.
Well,
but he has a really good lawyer.
Yes, he does have a really good lawyer.
Don Heller's representing him.
Uh-huh. And that is something. We interviewed him the day that it happened.
Yeah.
Of course, not knowing he was going to eventually be affiliated with the case.
No, he didn't know it then because we talked later.
Yeah, I know. I know he didn't know then.
Yeah.
All right.
And once I told him the rest of the story.
Yeah. Then he said, I'm on.
He says, I'll take it.
Yeah. See? I don't know, Tom. I don't know how we're going to ever get back to, but honesty needs to be generated in the person. And because all these external things you do, the laws, the guns, the police, you know, they're not effective.
No.
But how do you do that? How do you instill that into people?
Well, I grew up with a little bit of fear of being punished, caught, reprimanded, disciplined.
So did I. And I was taught honesty is a virtue, and you're
so
taught
these
things.
A little bit of morals and a little bit of fear.
Yeah.
You mix them together, and you wind up not committing crimes.
Yeah.
That's how it works.
It might make for a better societal situation.
Yeah. Now, if they could just drive better.
We all take that
like
driving
me,
test.
Because, you know, I drive fine.
It's everybody else.
Those other people.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm Syndex Homes Traffic Center. Hey, Jennifer Steele.
Hello, Miss Kitty. And this traffic report is brought to us by Thunder Valley Casino. The roadway's looking pretty good right now. We just have one problem. That's westbound I-80 just east of Enterprise. A couple of vehicles involved in an accident there, and one is facing the wrong way on the roadway. So, again, that's westbound I-80 just east of Enterprise. Otherwise, the roadway is looking pretty good right now. In the Syntex Homes Traffic Center, I'm Jennifer Steele on News Talk 1530 KFBK.
At Wholesale Art and Framing, it's what customers say about them that matters most.
The piece that I had framed actually was an old painting of my wife's that actually got damaged, and we were going to throw it away. My wife said, hey, go in and see if we can't get this thing salvaged and reframed. So we brought it to Wholesale Art and Framing. It was absolutely stunning. The piece just really stood out.
Wholesale Art and Framing wants to know, what have you got to frame? Visit WholesaleFraming.com. That's WholesaleFraming.com. As you may have heard in recent days, the mortgage lending world is changing, and the availability of loan programs has been dramatically reduced. Your opportunity to purchase a new home at a favorable price with no out-of-pocket expenses is rapidly closing. With prices from the low 200s, Ridgefield Condominiums is simply the best choice in today's market. Get over $60,000 in included features, up to $14,000 in seller assistance, no HOAs for the first year, and Ridgefield is all new construction. Ridgefield is ready for occupancy. Are you ready to buy? See BridgefieldCondos.com. For information or call 729-5145. That's 729-5145.
Okay. Well, let's see how we kicked off the week on Wall Street.
Yeah.
Big doings?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. How big?
Up 8.
Woo! Okay.
Man.
Well,
nothing.
Back from a big weekend.
Well, you got people taking a 4-day weekend.
Yeah. Yeah. When did this happen? This four-day thing?
I don't know. If nobody's working, they're just out committing crimes.
Oh, okay.
And today and tomorrow are the big part of Passover, where you're not supposed to. You know, if you're a good Jewish guy and gal, you won't go to work.
There you go.
So that's today and tomorrow, and because Passover ends sundown tomorrow night.
Okay, well.
So that's today and tomorrow. They'll be back to work on Wednesday. And then you've got earnings season kicks off tomorrow, next day, so not much to really work with today.
I guess not.
Yeah. So that's why we went up 8 to 12,569. Wow. It was really something on the advanced decline line, 1,600 up, 1,600 down. NASDAQ fell 2 entire points to 24.69. The price of gold was down $2.30 at 671.90. In the bond market, it was unchanged. Interest rates at 4.74%.
And your KFK forecast brought to you by Channel 3's Eileen Javora.
Beautiful afternoon on this Monday. Just a couple of clouds, but a whole lot of sun and temperatures warming into the 70s. We still have a breeze going at this point, and we'll stay a little bit breezy again tomorrow under partly cloudy skies with temperatures near 70. As for Wednesday, it turns cooler, clouds move in, and we have some rain that will fall through the area. And into Thursday, we will see a couple of showers possibly left over. And we're talking temperatures that will only get up into the low and mid-60s. That is your KFBK forecast. I'm KCRA 3 Weather Plus meteorologist Eileen Javora.
All right, thanks, Eileen. It's 65 in Concord, Fairfield 69 at our Sacramento studios. I'm Kitty O'Neill on News Talk 1530 KFBK.
At Wholesale Art and Framing, it's what customers say about them that matters most.
I think the level of service that I received at Wholesale Art and Framing is what really made them stand out. I've gone into numerous frame shops in the past, and it's sort of, you know, pick a number type service. This was very customized, and you could really tell that they cared about the outcome of the product.
Wholesale Art and Framing wants to know, what have you got to frame? Visit WholesaleFraming.com.
We'll be right back.
to Sacramento's most listened to talk host, Tom Sullivan, exclusively on News Talk 1530 KFBK.
All right, gosh, we're coming up on the top of the hour already. What I want to do next hour is ask you, we're just loaded today with amazing topics. The British sailors that were captives of Iran. First of all, this whole thing, there's a lot of questions that don't have answers. This whole thing smells to high heavens. And now there are the British sailors are selling their story. They're being allowed to profit from the telling of their experience as detainees of the Iranian government. This whole thing is just a mess.
At Wholesale Art and Framing, it's what customers say about them that matters most.
I had two pieces from Disneyland. They turned out fantastic. The guys over here at Wholesale Art and Framing did a fabulous job. Fantastic. The price at Aaron Brothers was over $800 per piece, and Wholesale Art and Framing did them for $249 a piece. So, wasn't even a comparison.
Wholesale Art and Framing wants to know, what have you got to frame? Visit wholesaleframing.com.
You're listening to The Tom Sullivan Show. Afternoons on News Talk 1530 KFBK.
1:56, 4 minutes before the top of the hour. Next hour, I want to talk to you about the British sailors that are literally selling their stories to the media about how everything went as they were captive of Iran. I said I would wait to hear what they have to say, but I think this is a big turnoff to me. We've got, Michael Deaver, who has been Ronald Reagan's right-hand man as governor and as president, will be with us on Wednesday. Tax guys are coming up next Monday.